Bear your cross as you await the crown. That's a good line. Amen. We need to be about that. Well, in the local church, there are two biblical offices, and there are many other things that come to be in a local church. You don't find an administrator or even a minister of music outlined, though the psalmist led, and they did that with music. But the two offices you find is that of the pastor, the bishop, and that of the deacon. Those two that we find are essential in the corporate body life of a local church. It's outlined in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and tells us the qualifications of the pastor or the bishop, the qualifications of the deacon. And we find those there. But then Paul says in 2 Timothy, where I want us to go tonight for just a few moments, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he outlines some things that are not just good for the bishop, not just good for the deacon. They'd be good not only for every man, but for every woman, for any person who would be a follower of Christ. But I want to apply these to the role of the deacon in our context for just a few minutes tonight. And then I want to introduce these five couples to you, to these five men that we're going to lay hands on, that we've questioned and that you've elected and selected to be deacons for the next 3 years in the body life of our church. And I want to charge them with this text. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we begin in verse number 1. If you need a Bible, there's one there in front of you. It's a black book, and you can find it in the pew rack right there in front of you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The first thing we ask a deacon, tell us when you got saved. It's the first question. They've got to be strong in grace. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, Paul is saying to Timothy, entrust these the faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. That is the discipleship formula. It is the men's ministry formula. Those of you that know Christ, and we've entrusted these things to you, entrust those to others that they'll be found faithful to. One generation to the next generation to the next generation that we teach. Man to man, heart to heart, generation to generation. And then he says some things that these men you're teaching should be marked by. And let's look at these for just a few moments tonight. First of all, he is to be single-minded for Christ and Christ alone. Found in verses 3 and 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. He's got one mind. If Jesus enlisted him, he follows Christ, Christ alone. There's no other Lord, there's no other captain in his life. What God says he does, where Jesus leads, he goes. He's been enlisted. He signed up. He is a soldier of the cross. He is single-minded in his devotion toward Christ. If you're going to serve as a deacon in this church, you've got to have your mind right. Single-mindedness as a follower of the captain of our salvation. Secondly, in this text, he gives us then three other illustrations of this single-mindedness. In verse 5, he says he's like an athlete and he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Therefore, this single-mindedness speaks of obedience. In athletics, there are lines. If you get outside that line, you're out of bounds. There are rules. There are things you can do, things you can't do. And you are to compete according to the rules. There's obedience. God set forth some things that we are to do and things we are not to do. Then he talks about the hardworking farmer who ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. If you know anything about farming, of which I know little, we had a great lesson about it tonight in our deacons meeting from our chairman, talking about the parable of the soils and the sower with the seed. We talked about that. Well, you know anything about farming, you know he's got to be single-minded. He's got to be fixed. You know, there's the law of the harvest. that you reap what you sow. This man's got to be single-minded in sowing the right thing so the harvest is proper in his life. Then he goes on down in verse 9 and said he would suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. If need be, he'd go to jail for the faith. No matter the cost, he is single-minded. He is fixed in the person he is following, who is the Christ. So he's single-minded. Secondly, we find that if this man is going to follow after as a disciple, he's got to secondly be secure. Secure. It's found in verses 11, 12, and 13. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This man's secure. He knows that he is in the hand of one. And that man, Christ, will take care of him. Thirdly, he is sound of faith. And you can find that in verses 14 and 19. Not going to take time to read those verses. You can read it. But the thing I want to talk about for a few minutes tonight is that this man is also a bond servant. That's what a deacon is. He's a bond servant. Bond servant found over in the book of Leviticus. When a slave was paid out, he no longer was owned by his master, he could go free. But some slaves didn't want to go free because when they went free, they couldn't make it. And they had it better underneath their taskmaster than they did trying to make it on their own. So they would come back to the master and say, I want to serve you. And he would take a sharp instrument, an awl, A-W-L, and he would take him to the doorpost of the house, and he would take his ear, and he would pierce his earlobe to the post, to the doorpost of the house, and he would bond that ear to the doorpost. And he became a bond slave. He was bonded. He wasn't bought. He came on his own free volition. That man was bonded. And that is the word Paul uses again and again and again and again in the epistles. I am the bond slave of Christ. I'm the bond slave of Christ. I come on my own free volition. I say, Lord, I will serve you. And he has bonded me unto himself. With that, he begins to talk about it in verse number 20 and the following verses. You see the word bond servant in verse 24. But he, in the context, begins in verse 20. Now look at this. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will become a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, and with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bond servant, there it is, the Lord's bond. Listen to me, deacons, the Lord's bond servant must not be quarrelsome. You don't get in this to fight, you get in to serve. Be kind, able to teach, patient when wronged. Well, that's an easy one, isn't it? Let me tell you, you get in God's work, you'll be wronged. There'll be people that'll do things, say things. When you're wronged, patience, patience, patience. With gentleness, correcting those who were in opposition. Wow. If perhaps God might grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. You are not trying to change them for change's sake. You are trying to change them for God's sake. That they might come to repentance and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him. Look back, if you would, in verse 21. If you cleanse yourself, you're a vessel for honor. Now, gentlemen, look right here at me, the five of you we're going to lay hands on just a moment, and all the rest of you. We are to be vessels of honor. He says in his text, you'll be a vessel of honor or dishonor. That in the house there are all kinds of vessels, gold and silver, some of earthenware, made out of wood or clay. In your house, it's the same way. You got silver. You have fine china. You got to be somebody to eat off of that. I mean, you got to be a guest before we get that out of the box. Amen? We don't use that every day. There's vessels in your house. We have, I don't know, Liz has been cleaning out. We may have given it away. I don't know. We have two large silver trays inscribed with our names on them. I don't know what they're good for. I've seen them in use a couple of times in 40 years. Put cookies on there or something. People give them to you when you leave their church, when you're the pastor and you get ready to leave. They give you a silver tray with your name on it. What do you do with that? Sell it and buy gas. I don't know. You've got those things in your house. They're marvelous. These are vessels of gold and silver. Then you got everyday stuff. I feed the cat every morning I get up. First one up, I feed the cat. I won't put the cat stuff in fine china. Put the cat stuff in a little plastic bowl. She eats right out of it. This text says that just like you have vessels in your house of gold and silver and of earthenware, you are either a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. And if you're a vessel of honor, hear me, men, you're to be sanctified, that is holy, useful to the master. That you're doing something for the kingdom. You're not just sitting around. You're prepared for every good work. And you're fleeing from youthful lust. Those things that used to bother you. You're growing up and being discipled. Hear me now. An honorable vessel. What makes a vessel honorable is what the vessel contains. It's not what it's made out of. It's not how you're dressed. It's not what you look like. It's what is in the vessel. Christ in you as Lord will make you an honorable vessel. For out of that vessel then will flow all of these things we just read slowly about the gentleness and the patience. What kind of vessel are you? You're to be an honorable vessel, one filled with Christ, sold out to the Lord Jesus. And then out of that will come glory unto Christ. We always, in our deacon ordination questioning times, use an illustration that we had used for years, and then Dr. Steve Davis, who is the Vice President of North American Mission Board, is a member of our church here. He's not able to come very often because he travels so much, he and Diana. But we had our deacons over to his home a few years ago, and he literally did this for us. And that he had the two buckets that we always talk about with our deacons. He says one bucket's filled with water and one bucket's filled with gas. Anything you come upon in the church as a deacon leader, you have to decide which one of these buckets are you going to use. When you find a quarrelsome, mean, difficult situation, you don't pour gas on that. You pour water on that. When you find young people living for God and a flame of revival coming, you pour gas on that. You want that to go. But you've got to decide which bucket you're going to use. And friends, sometimes the only way to discern that is for you to be such an honorable vessel that you don't want your mind, you want God's mind, and He is in you, and through your sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work living, comes the right choice of which bucket you will use. Now, friend, let me tell you, that's not just good for deacons. That's good for every church member. Every church member's got two buckets. You find the fire of God, pour gas on that. You find wickedness and things blazing up, you pour water on that. Dude, we need to tamp that down. But don't get that backwards. Some people like to see such difficulty that when they find a little meanness, they'll pour gas on that. You're worse than an infidel when you do that. Others, when they find young people beginning to get excited about the Lord, and revive, they say, oh, no, we got to bring the cold water committee on that. Oh, man, you got it backwards. That's being a dishonorable vessel. You want to be an honorable.